amazing Kate Casey. Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. I hope that you guys are having a great week. I've had a great week, an unbelievable week. On Sunday, I gave birth to my fifth baby, Caroline, and everybody is so happy. My kids are thrilled. My husband is adorable. Can't stop holding the baby. So sweet. I was scheduled for an induction on Saturday, but believe it or not, our hospital here in Newport Beach is always packed. They were delivering babies in the triage section, so they told me to call back every 6 hours, which I did. And then they called me back and said, can you come in at 6? And by this time, I'm like, listen, we're going to go on my program now. So I made dinner plans with friends. So I told them the hospital that I couldn't get a babysitter till 8. So I ran some errands, picked up a pizza for their kids. My husband texted me asking me if I could pick up his dry cleaning on the way home, which I found pretty interesting considering the fact my water could have, you know, broken at any minute, and I was about to give birth to his child, but he wanted me to get his clothes. So I came home, suited up, went out to dinner, had a half a glass of wine and a chopped salad, and left there and went right to the hospital. My first nurse, Kathy, loved watching The Bachelorette this season, so we chatted about the finale with Becca and Garrett and how Garrett was a garbage contestant. And then I had my water broken. I had a male nurse come in. And yeah, it was a little bit weird at first. I thought, do I really want you to be up in my situation? But then I found out that he and his wife love to watch Big Brother. So we talked about that. And then my recovery nurse the next day talked to me about Bachelor in Paradise. So really, that kind of happens to me everywhere. It's never the issues at hand that you would think we would discuss, like how smooth is my delivery going? Can you up my epidural? It's like, what's going on in the mind of the producers of The Bachelor that they would even make us think that Colton was a potential bachelor? So thank you to the staff there. I'm so appreciative, and it was a great delivery. I had a bunch of girlfriends in the room. And you may ask yourself, why would you want to have so many people in the room, especially when they see your lady parts? I assure you, I've asked them all at length, do you feel like you're suffering now from PTSD because you have seen my vagina up close and personal? And they have all said that they are fine, they're sleeping well, and that the birth of a child was a great experience, and they are fine with it. So that's great. So in the meantime, I've been sitting on my couch all week watching shows. One of them is called Castaways. It's a new show this summer. It's sort of like that show Lost, but they take, I don't know, like 14 people or something, and they stick them on these little connected islands in Indonesia, and they test them because they're stuck. They start by themselves, and they're challenged to survive among washed up luggage, scattered resources, even abandoned structures. They don't know how many other castaways are out there or where their location is or if they're going to be rescued. And the only way to leave the remote islands is to persevere long enough to be rescued, or they can just quit. So as this dramatic, all these dramatic situations are unfolding, the series, much like the show Lost, will flash back to their real lives. And it's almost like in a documentary style. The problem is all these stories are super depressing. There are no happy moments. It's like people who are suffering from like emotional trauma, like terrible life situations. So I don't know. I don't know if you want to put your back into this one. I'm going to say hard pass on Castaways. I did watch the Real Housewives of New York finale. Like I always say, I kind of understand Bethany. We've had similar childhoods, but in her personal life, she's more like my sister. So I feel like I can understand her in a way that others don't. So the scene at the end of the show where Ramona comes up and says to her, you know, you didn't support me when I had my anti-skincare. I swear that's what she said. Anti-skincare, not anti-aging skincare. Anti-skincare launch party. You didn't come, and you know, you really don't support women. And Bethany just said, all right, well, next time, you know, call my secretary and we'll make arrangements. The reason she does reacts that way is because of this. They've been on the show for like 10 seasons. In that time, Bethany has launched like real businesses and made real money, businesses that have some longevity. Ramona Singer has launched several businesses that have never come to fruition. And I'm talking about the religious trinkets. Remember, she had all the jewelry with Mario. Where is that business? True Renewal. Where is that? The bar that she was going to put together. What happened to Ramona Pina Grigio? Is that still around? So it's not like she has these businesses that are just killing it. And I think, you know, yeah, they're on a TV show, but at some point it's like, I'm not going to pretend that you're this super successful person in the way that you want everyone to believe that you are. So I can kind of understand why Bethany is like, I'm not going to show up to your party. I'm not going to show up to your launch party of a business that doesn't even have a website and doesn't even have products. I saw online a couple of people went to her website. I don't even think that website's working. It's sort of like if Lynn Curtin had a launch party for her bangle bracelet business, the one that she was making in Orange County, where she would like cut up the leather in her living room and would make like 3 bracelets and sell to a boutique. Like, let's not pretend that this is like a big thriving business. And then I watched The Real Housewives of Dallas premiere. It was okay. It's not really blowing my hair back yet. So in the meantime, just enjoying being home with baby, and I am just plugging away. This week's episode, I did part 2 of my Unsolved Mysteries series with my friend Jen, my old roommate, and we're going to tackle a couple different cases. So sit back and here we go. You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment. With female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks, Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. This is the second installment of my Unsolved Mysteries podcast series. And my guest is Jen Yates, who was long ago my roommate in Los Angeles and remains a very dear friend. And she is fantastic at channeling those that have passed away and talking about unsolved mysteries. So the first part of our series aired a couple weeks ago, and you can check back to the episodes and find it. And so in this episode, I want to talk about 4 different mysteries. I'm going to explain who the person is and what the mystery is. And then Jen will channel, and then we'll talk about it. So, Jenny, ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, the first one is Jennifer Kessie. I've actually followed this case for many, many years. So Jennifer Kessie lived in Orlando, Florida. She's been missing since January 24th, 2006. Her disappearance has puzzled investigators. They ran an aggressive search for her in the area surrounding her home. Shortly after her disappearance, her car was discovered a little over a mile from her home at a nearby apartment complex. No evidence was ever made known with regard to her, such as fingerprints, DNA, or cell phone location information from nearby towers. They do have captured footage from a nearby security camera shown an unidentified person parking Kessie's car before walking away. So again, she's been missing since January 23rd, 2006. At approximately 6 p.m., she left her place of employment, Westgate Resorts. That evening, she made several calls to her family and friends. Her last call was at 10 p.m. to her boyfriend. Typically, she would call or text her boyfriend every morning on her drive to work to talk and just, you know, wish him a good day. But the morning of the 24th, so that's the next morning, she never called or sent him a text message. When anybody called her phone, they went straight to voicemail. And when she failed to arrive at work, her employer contacted her parents, who immediately made the 2-hour drive to her residence. Now, they noticed that her car was missing, but when they went into the condo, they saw nothing that looked out of the ordinary. Evidence at her residence, including a wet towel and clothes laid out, indicated she was probably home the morning of the 24th and had showered and prepared to dress for work. So again, the only thing they have is that the footage from a nearby security camera showing an unidentified person parking her car before walking away. And it's really hard on the footage to see who it is. So I wanted to ask you what you thought about this case.
Okay, so this one, I'm living under a rock. I've never heard of her. But it's very clear that she's deceased. She was killed. The things that first come up for me is drinking. So I don't know where that plays in exactly, except that she was drinking. She walked to her car and somebody had a gun. That's what's coming up very clearly. I feel like she was forced to drive herself somewhere. Not very far away. I know that somebody, so that the person who killed her did so intentionally. I feel like she might have been robbed too. There was sexual activity that happened. It's pretty clear. It's pretty simple. This person is parked her car, but obviously got away. I don't know if she lived in like a shady area or something, or wherever. It just feels like there was something about the neighborhood that was shady. But she was taken and killed. That's pretty clear.
Did she know the person that abducted
her?
No,
definitely not.
And it was on her way to work. So this happened the morning of the 24th.
That's the only thing that makes sense. It's pretty clear that like her spirit still wants resolution to this. I don't think that it can happen, unfortunately, but there's a lot of like, I don't know how to put it. It's like this sad energy revolving around how there could have been more investigation done. She must have been on her way to work.
And she did not know the person that did this to her.
No. Go ahead.
Why was she targeted? Can you get any sense of that?
Honestly, whoever killed her, you know, it feels like this person had done it before, maybe two or three times. So it's more of like a killing for the sake of killing. And it feels pretty dark. This person does. And unfortunately, I feel like he's still alive. So the intention was not, it was to kill.
And do we know what happened to her body?
Let's see. I feel like it sounds so cliche, but woods is what I get. I get woods. I feel like this guy knew what he was doing. There must not have been any evidence or that would have been discussed. Like, I feel like he wore gloves. I mean, he cleaned up after himself. He was methodical.
Will he ever be caught?
Nearby woods. I don't know. That part, I don't know. I can't always like tap into seeing like
the future.
Seeing the future per se.
When you channel her, is there any message for like her parents or anyone that would be helpful?
I mean, I get this a lot from spirit. She's apologizing. You know, she's sorry that she put she feels like she knows it's not her fault, but she's sorry that her loved ones had to go through what they went through. And I think are still going through because it is unsolved. And, I'm also getting, that they could still probably find her body. Well, for the remains of her body, because they're somewhere. I do feel like they're buried. So that is coming through. I wish I could be more like specific as to where, but it's not far from wherever her car was.
Did this person that did this commit another crime after this?
Yeah. I'm hearing like altogether six or seven, which just is mind-blowing to me.
In the same area or different states?
Different states. Not all different states. I want to say, you know, adjacent states, maybe nothing terribly far. Although I do feel like he's moved since then. It's hard to tap into him. It's just her, like what he's done after, but I'm getting more about her, you know, like her recollection.
And the last question is, did this person live in her complex?
No. Nope. I don't know where he lived because she doesn't know.
Is it possible he was the one drinking?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's go to the next one. Brittany Murphy. Brittany Murphy was an actress. Brittany Murphy was an actress and a singer. She's from Atlanta. She moved to LA as a teenager and pursued a career in acting. Her breakthrough role was Ty Frazier in Clueless, which a lot of people remember that movie. But she followed it with many supporting roles in independent films such as Freeway and Bong Water. She was romantically involved with Ashton Kutcher for a couple years. People remember that. In December 2009, she died of pneumonia at the age of 32 when her widower, Simon Monjack, died from the same exact illness 5 months later. The LAPD of Health Services considered perhaps toxic mold in their home was a possible cause for both of their deaths, but this was dismissed by the coroner's office, which is odd. In 2011, her mother filed a lawsuit against the attorneys who represented her in an earlier suit against the builders of the home where her daughter and son-in-law died. Most people that follow this case know that there was something very strange about her husband, Simon, but it's a mystery because of the way that she died and then her husband died 5 months later. It's just a very odd story. So what do you get from that?
So her, I know, and remember, and I love that movie Clueless. And she was in another movie with, I won't try and think of it. She was in another really bigger movie, but, so very, very strange vibes from all of these people. Her husband, she's kind of hard to tap into in a way. And the reason what I'm getting is that she had a lot of like mental health issues, like pretty severe. I feel like towards the end, I don't know if she was in any movies in the last years of her life, but I just feel like she kind of became more reclusive and was, there's drugs that I'm seeing. There's the mold thing. No, I mean, I don't, there might've been mold, but it certainly didn't kill anybody. His cause of death is not as clear to me. It has something to do with like a slow, she didn't overdose or anything like that, but almost like a slow, I'm hearing the word like poisoning of herself, but she wasn't poisoned by somebody else. She did it to herself. And there's just, it all revolves around a very, very chaotic mental state, like almost schizophrenic.
Was her husband involved in the slow deterioration of her mental health or of the quasi poisoning, like the drug use, or was he trying to help her?
Neither, I think. What I get more of from her, I'm having a harder time for some reason getting, the reason why she's hard to tap into is because I'm getting the schizophrenia vibe from her. From him, he's just more shut down. Let me see. So what I'm getting is that he wasn't involved in it, but he was a part of it in the sense that they both kind of partook in some drug use, but his was much less severe and much less frequent, but almost like enabling, I guess. So in a way you could say that that's a part of it. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't seem well either. I feel like I get narcissism, underlying depression, not what I get from Brittany, but just kind of a mess, both of them, I hate to say. They're at peace now. That's good.
Oh, well, that's good. Okay. So the next one is, the death of Meredith Kircher, which a lot of people know about because Meredith was a British student on exchange from the University of Leeds who was murdered at the age of 21 in Perugia, Italy, on November 1st, 2007. She was found dead on the floor of her bedroom. By the time of the bloodstained footprints in the scene were identified as belonging to Rudy, police had charged her American flatmate, Amanda Knox, and Knox's Italian boyfriend, Raffaele Solicito, with the murder. The subsequent prosecutions of Knox and Solicito received international publicity, with forensic experts and jurists taking a critical view of the evidence supporting the initial guilty verdicts. Her murder still remains a mystery. Tell me what you get from Meredith.
So there was only one person, and it's the Rudy guy. The other two, I'm not sure what happened. And I guess I am living under a rock because this one, her name sounded familiar, but I just must not have watched the news at that time. But the other two, no, they weren't even involved. I'm not sure how they got charged that time, what they came up with, but I don't feel like there was any hard evidence. I feel like there was a lot of, she's saying like a lot of bravado around this case or just drama. I mean, of course it's a horrible tragedy and I get that, but there was, I think whoever, there was a lawyer involved that just was super inflated everything. And there were all the, I feel like there were conspiracy theories that came up that were just really outlandish. But it was pretty simple. I don't think he did it intentionally. Let me see. No, he didn't intentionally kill her. He didn't go in with the intention to kill her. I feel like they had sex though. And then it's, well, more like rape. And she fought back and that's where it went bad.
I see. Well, Amanda served time in an Italian jail. People were confused because their behavior, Amanda and her boyfriend after the crime was confusing. For example, they were standing outside the police station, like fondling one another, kissing. She was doing cartwheels. And in the coverage of her in the culminating years, there seems to be something that's a little off with her. Can you explain why people would come to that conclusion based on her behavior? Is there something off with her, or was she not honest about her whereabouts that evening?
Oh boy, it's a little complicated. I'm getting more of there's something about the way that she was portrayed by the media that was really inflating and conflating, I guess is another word. I don't think that there's a cultural piece to this too, just different there. It's a different culture than as Americans, we look at it and that it doesn't look right to us, but I'm not getting that there's too much off with her and that there was some things that she was worried about. So there was some lies that were told, but not because she did anything wrong, because she was scared. I don't know, just because she was her roommate.
Okay. Like I remember she went shopping for lingerie. It was like the day after her roommate was found murdered in their flat.
Yeah, I mean, a part of it's like, well, I don't know if that part's cultural necessarily, but I don't think she's, I don't get like mental illness for her necessarily, but maybe just, I think she probably has a trauma history and, you know, just might come off a certain way, but it's not dark. It doesn't feel dark at all.
Okay. And anything Meredith's, anything like her spirit comes across, like a message or anything that comes from tapping into her?
It's her. She's got a very lovely energy. Just your normal stuff. Like I want my family to know how much I love them kind of thing. She's at peace. You know, it's the same message every time. I'm sorry you had to go through this. Yeah. And the right person was found.
When you have these cases where there's a murder and someone's passed, is the person that was the spirit that it has suffered from a murder, are they aware of what happens to their loved ones and the investigative process afterwards? Like, how does that work?
It's kind of hard to explain. The short answer is yes. I mean, the spirit souls can see what's going on with their loved ones. If anything, what they try and do is provide as much of a sense of comfort of their presence as they can, but not everybody's open to that. So if, you know, if her, whoever, mother is for some reason not open to a spirit being around her, which I don't think necessarily is the case in this specific example, but then they won't feel that comfort. So that's what their purpose is to try and provide that sense of, that they're still around, they're still in their hearts, they're still in their souls. Their ego isn't attached to what's happening so much anymore. I mean, I can tap into, oh, you know, this person wishes that their killer would be found, of course, but they're not a lost soul on earth wandering around, you know, not at peace because of it. Does that make sense?
So when a person passes, their spirit carries on and maybe changes form. But what it's like, I know it would be a different thing, like, someone on earth, but what are they doing all day? I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, where does it go? What happens?
Oh my goodness. That would take a whole episode to explain what my sense of that is. But I mean, the nutshell version is that there's no time. Oh, this is so hard to explain. There's no time. I actually had a dream that I believe was actually visiting the other side. And the spirit that I talked to said the best way to liken it is a year on earth is like 5,000 years on the other side.
Wow. Okay.
Which isn't a direct formula, but that was the best way that it was explained. So souls can be in more than one place at one time. It's not like, you know, ghosts floating around us, although souls that don't pass over, they can be earthbound. And so that's why people have like some paranormal activity. But when somebody dies and their soul passes, it's pure bliss, really. That's the best way I can explain it. And it's not like they actually look at their lives, because each life is a lesson so that your soul can evolve. And that's why we talk about past lives and things like that, because each life is a new lesson. Some souls are meant to be spirit guides for other earthbound people. Some souls are teachers. The list goes on. It's like, I could talk about this all day.
Okay. Did you know that socks are the number one requested item at a homeless shelter? Did you know that athletic socks have totally changed over the last 20 years? Well, a lot of it has to do with a great company called Bombas. Not only do they have a great product, but they're really altruistic. They're great socks, which I'm actually taking in the delivery room. They've got honeycomb arch support, cushion footbed, blister tab, seamless toe, and a super soft cotton. The greatest thing about this company, Bombas, which is a Latin word derived for bumblebee, is all about altruism. It's the whole idea of a whole hive working together to make things better. They thought that, listen, if Tom's can donate a pair of shoes and Warby Parker can donate a pair of eyeglasses, why can't they donate a pair of socks? So at a Bombas, for every pair of socks purchased, they donate a pair to someone in need here in the U.S. To date, they've donated over 7 million socks to shelters in all 50 states. It's great. You can save 20% by visiting bombas.com/reality. That's bombas.com/reality and entering the offer reality in the checkout code space. So again, you can save 20% by visiting bombas.com/reality. That's bombas.com/reality and entering the offer reality in the checkout code space. I have to tell you guys about my new obsession. It's Kopari's coconut deodorant. I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. Kopari's coconut deodorant is aluminum-free. And instead of plugging up your sweat glands, Kopari's deodorant takes care of any smell without messing with your body's natural patterns. Most importantly, I'm telling you guys, it works. It fights odor with plant-based actives such as sage oil and coconut oil, and it outlasts your longest days. It's gotten a lot of love from editors at Cosmo and People, and there are thousands of five-star reviews on Kopari's website from people who are now coconut converts. My husband's from Hawaii, so we're obsessed with coconut in our house. This is Kopari's number one selling product. They can barely keep it in stock. You're barely going to keep it in stock because it smells so good. Kopari's deodorant doesn't leave behind a sticky white residue, just the sweet, subtle scent of fresh coconut milk. I'm telling you, it smells like fresh coconut milk. It's also free of silicone, sulfates, parabens, GMOs, and baking soda. It's great for sensitive skin. They offer a money-back guarantee, so really, why wouldn't you want to try it? Say aloha to Kopari. Go to KopariBeauty.com/reality to make a safe switch today and see how you can save $5 off your first order. That's Kopari, K-O-P-A-R-I, beauty.com/reality. KopariBeauty.com/reality. All right, well, the last one that I wanted to ask you about is one that I'm particularly interested in. It's the mystery of Chappaquiddick. Chappaquiddick was a single vehicle car accident that occurred on Chappaquiddick Island in Massachusetts on Friday, July 18th, 1969. The late night accident was caused by Senator Ted Kennedy's negligence and resulted in the death of his 28-year-old passenger, Mary Jo Kopechne, who was trapped inside the vehicle. According to his testimony, Kennedy accidentally drove his car off the one-lane bridge and into the tide-swept pond. He swam free, left the scene, and did not report that accident to the police for 10 hours. Kopechne died inside the fully submerged car. The next day, the car with Kopechne's body inside was recovered by a diver minutes before Kennedy reported the accident to local authorities. Kennedy pleaded guilty to a charge of leaving the scene of a crash causing personal injury and later received a 2-month suspended jail sentence. The incident became a nationally known scandal while occurring during the Apollo 11 moon landing and likely influenced Kennedy's decision to campaign for president in 1972 and 1976. The incident at Chappaquiddick has become talked about in the media again because, one, there's a movie that came out about Chappaquiddick this summer. Also because there's a fantastic podcast that I recommend everybody listen to called Cover Up. It is done in collaboration with People magazine. And when you listen to the interviews of people that were alive then and involved, it seems like the incident, which seemed pretty cut and dry in 1969, is actually quite a bit more complicated. So I wanted to get your feedback on it because I'm wondering now if Ted Kennedy even knew that Kopechne was in the back of the car and there was a third person in the car.
Oh, okay. No.
Okay.
So now I get a few things. So he was definitely drunk. I mean, I don't know if that's obvious. And I don't know if he was trying to avoid hitting something, but he took a wrong turn. And then I feel like there was some other impetus. Like he was trying to avoid something that caused him to go off the bridge. And it's really sad because I feel like he tried really hard to get her out. But he was really drunk and he just knew that he wasn't going to be able to do it. And the sad part is I don't think it took her a little while to die, which, right, which feels really gross. I don't know how to put it.
Why were they in the car together? Was this a romantic thing or they just were having a conversation?
No, it was romantic for sure. I feel like they were going, they were going to a hotel room together. That was the intention. what was the other thing that was coming up? Which is the other thing that I'm getting is that if if cell phones were around, this mystery would be solved, because the reason why everything took so long is that he was so afraid to be, you know, cast in a downward light, that he called his, you know, people to see what he should do. And I feel like, did he go back to the scene?
Yeah, he went
to try and get her.
Yes.
Get her out. I did not see this movie, by the way. Okay. Because I feel like there was a second attempt that was failed, and there were other people there too. Like he went back to get help or something, and he knew that she wasn't going to be alive, but he wanted to just get her body out, but he couldn't, but they couldn't, it was too late. Or it was too hard, I guess. But I don't think that there was, I don't feel like there was a bigger conspiracy. I feel like people kind of want there to be because of the Kennedy stories, you know, mm-hmm. because there is more conspiracy with JFK, of course, but not with this one.
Why did he cover it, or why did he cover it up, or why did it take him so long to come clean about it? And also, did he feel sadness about it the rest of his life? I don't know if you can even tap into him and ask that.
He definitely feels badly. Why did it take so long? He was drunk, and this was a poor decision, but it was influenced by the fact that he was drunk and didn't want to be caught drunk and thrown in jail for, you know, manslaughter or whatever. Cause that's what it would have been. And yeah, he does feel badly. But there was a lot of guilt that went along with that, as there should be, because really it was his fault. If you look at it, there's no two ways about it.
What about her spirit? Can you tap into that at all? Mary Jo Kopechne? Because there was another woman's purse in the front seat of the car. Was that just a mistake, or she left it there?
So she's telling me, okay, so this is what I'm getting, that she was, so they were both really drunk. I mean, I don't know how you grab the wrong purse, but that's what I'm getting. That doesn't feel, were there two purses?
I don't know about that, but Rosemary Keough was another woman at the party. Her purse was in the front. And in the culminating, or the last couple or years afterward, she and the other women at the party. So the women at the party worked for RFK's campaign, and they were all getting together sort of as just to get together and talk about, you know, how they felt after his death. Obviously, Teddy Kennedy was always drunk because two of his brothers had been assassinated. So the women that gathered, they were called the Boiler Room Girls. And in the years after, not only was Rosemary Keough's purse found in the front of the car, but she did one interview where she said Mary Jo was at the wrong place at the wrong time in the wrong car with the wrong people, something of that sort, which made it sound like there was someone else in the car. And people have been led to believe Rosemary was in the front seat of the car because her purse was there. And also when Mary Jo's body was found, her body was actually in the back seat of the car. So people wondered if she may have fallen asleep, passed out in the back of the car, and Teddy and Rosemary never knew it.
I'm getting a no. I mean, it would be, even though tragic, interesting take on it. She was in the back seat because that's the way the car fell, and that's how her body fell. They did try to get her out. So I don't know if that's just where she landed. The purse thing isn't super clear. The first thing that I got is that she grabbed it by accident, but that doesn't seem exactly right. And I don't know why I'm not getting a better read on it. But she was at the wrong place at the wrong time. She shouldn't have gotten in the car with him. I mean, not that it's her fault, obviously, but that was horrible circumstances to be in. And, it doesn't feel like there was anybody else involved, except that, you know, he conferred with a lot of people to figure out what to do about this thing, because he was so worried that he was going to get thrown in jail for manslaughter.
Well, if it were today, probably would have, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's just crazy that he got away with it. I mean, grateful for all the things that he did while he was in office, but I mean, it doesn't erase the fact that he killed someone. He's responsible for someone's death.
He was. Yeah. And he knows it. And karma plays itself out. And, you know, he wasn't a happy man.
Yeah.
How it goes, I guess.
Why is it that the boiler room women have been very successful, extremely successful, all those women? They have all remained silent all these years. Why is that?
So this is the other thing that was coming. I was just seeing a smattering of money. So these, whoever, you know, Kennedys have so much power, right? I mean, they were paid off. They were given positions. I mean, all of those things happen because they're connected to the Kennedys, and the Kennedys family or people connected to the Kennedy family made that happen.
Wow.
For sure.
Wow. Insane. Are you asked often about JFK and the, you know, the mystery behind that?
Not really. No, it's so big. There's things that I can't get, you know, if I could solve JFK mystery and, you know, go give some evidence of something, or it wouldn't be real evidence, but, you know, the world would stop spinning, right? I mean, it's just, there's certain things that I can't tap into. There's a lot of things I can't tap into, and something like that, I mean, for sure, it was a huge conspiracy, but, you know, I don't know the details.
Will we ever find, you know, all these years later, for some of these, like the JFK assassination, even the RFK assassination is kind of a mystery. In time, will archives be, you know, will we have access to different archives, and will some of these mysteries be solved?
I when I ask my spirit guides that, they say yes, for sure. And I don't know when, you know, they don't say when, but in time, yeah. I mean, that there will be answers. I think it'll be, I would say, you know, a couple lifetimes away, at least one, you know, maybe our grandkids will know.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, this has been fantastic. I appreciate your time as always. And I'm sure that there will be more mysteries, questions about unsolved mysteries to come. So thank you. Oh, and tell everybody how they can contact you should they have questions, because you also are very helpful in helping people who are, you know, working through the loss of someone and need some clarity on someone's passing or to channel someone in depth. So how can people contact you?
Sure. My email is jenn4774@yahoo.com. And I do medium and intuitive readings, also past life readings. And I've also just started doing some intuitive coaching for people who want to hone their own intuitive skills. So that's been fun. And thanks for having me, Kate. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. I want to thank my guest this week, Jen Yates, and I remind you that you should subscribe to the show on iTunes, and if you wouldn't mind leaving me a 5-star review. I've got some unbelievable upcoming guests in the next few weeks, so stay tuned. It's going to be a great end of the month and into September. Go to Facebook and join the Reality Life with Kate Casey page. I'm telling you, you do not want to miss out on this group. Awesome people. We're deep diving reality shows all week and talking about shows that are from the past and the present. So jump in. And I also have my Facebook page, Love and Knuckles. You can go to my website, loveandknuckles.com, and find all the pieces that I've written about parenting, pregnancy, reality TV shows, fun stuff. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. I love to tweet during shows and about shows. And my Instagram, do not miss it, is at Kate Casey CA. You can see what's going on in my life and upcoming guests, etc. Have a great week and talk to you soon.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.